Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
On our regular City Counselling segment this week, I spoke to Auckland Councillor Pippa Coombe about the year ahead for the Auckland Council. We discussed the local elections happening this year, the government's recent light rail announcement, and how our move to red has affected Auckland residents. I also asked Pippa to clear up some of the controversy surrounding a proposal to put Auckland Regional Parks into the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park. Here is that interview.
First of all, happy New Year. I hope you had a great break.
Yeah, happy New Year. It's been a really wonderful summer and good to be back into it though.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to start off our interview just talking a little bit about what this year ahead is going to look like for yourself and also for the Auckland Council. So could you fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, for Aucklanders, of course, it is still continuing. Dealing with the pandemic and having to move into red has been quite a blow, especially for all of the events that we were looking forward to having this summer. So that's going to be a tough one. For council, the business of councils have continued relentlessly, and for us this year it is election year, so a lot of things focused on that in September.
Yeah, so will you be running again to represent the Waitemata and Gulf Ward?
Absolutely. I've been re-selected by City Vision to be their candidate for the ward, and it's a real big privilege to represent the central area of Auckland and the Gulf Islands, and so keen to continue, especially as I haven't really had what could be described as a normal year on council yet. So, I've only been a councillor for just over 2 years, and it feels like there's lots more to do and get underway.
Yeah, well, here's hoping this year might look a little bit more normal for you and everyone in Auckland. Can you talk a little bit about what your platform is going to be this time around? Is there any issues that you're going to be focusing on in particular?
Well, there are lots of big issues on the agenda this year, particularly around housing and transport. I'm keen to support that we keep pushing for a city where people have transport choice, so really getting our cycle network underway and properly completed is one of the big ones. There's the environment in terms of the Hauraki Gulf has been one of my big focus areas because I'm co-chair of the Hauraki Gulf Forum, and hope to be able to continue in that role because we've got a lot to do in terms of protecting and restoring the Hauraki Gulf. And of course, the really big one that's probably after the pandemic, the biggest challenge confronting us is, of course, climate change. So I really want to be on a council that is and part of the team that are really trying to work on our climate initiatives and actually reducing our emissions, because we've got a very bold target of reducing our emissions by 50% by 2030. And to do that, it's going to take a big commitment and a lot of bold action.
Right, so I want to talk to you a little bit about some of those things you brought up. I mean, first of all, with transport, the government's light rail announcement has happened today. What will this mean for Auckland, and is this something that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm really excited that this announcement has finally happened. It has been a long time coming, and there's been lots of talk of bringing light rail to Auckland for a long time, but this is actually true proper commitment from the government and funding. And I just think it's really got the potential to support Auckland's growth, put us on a kind of emissions reduction target, and it's going to be, it's going to ensure that we have an integrated transport system that is multimodal, and that's absolutely crucial. We've got to invest, we can't just keep investing in roads, which we've done in the past, and light rail have got to be in the mix, because we can't keep squeezing in, even if we're not doing more roads, we can't keep squeezing in more buses, and it's not going to cut it that we just all start driving EVs. So I really see, you know, that light rail is part of the future and part of ensuring that we have a congestion-free network in Auckland.
And we spoke about the elections and the Auckland mayoral election as being something that's been discussed quite a lot, with some candidates saying that they would support fares-free public transport. Is this something that you'd be able to get behind?
Yes, I'm keen to support that in a targeted way. There's a bit of evidence around free fares that you've got to make sure that it's targeted to those communities who need it. Otherwise, it can just benefit those who are already taking public transport and not actually get more people using public transport. So I'm keen to kind of work up a proposal around how we can target free fares, particularly, say, aimed at students. You've already got the government's, you know, they're going to have a community concession card coming. So there's quite a lot sort of on the radar around in that space.
Yeah, and another thing we spoke about is the Hauraki Gulf. And one concern that some people have had recently is a proposal to put some of Auckland's regional parks into the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park. And you've supported this. So could you talk a little bit about why you think this will be a positive for the region?
Yeah, and the important thing is that you've summed it up perfectly, that it is actually a proposal to put the regional parks into the marine park, not into the forum, which was originally reported, and there's been quite a sort of bit of a scare campaign to say that this is the Hauraki Gulf Forum trying to take over the control of the regional parks, and that's just not true at all. And if you look at the proposal, it really makes sense in terms of what we're trying to achieve for restoring the Hauraki Gulf, and it's all in the best interest of the environment and the Gulf. And so the proposal is about if the regional parks are part of that, have that coastline on the Gulf, are part of the marine park, it just means that decision makers for the regional parks, which remains Auckland Council, as the governors of the regional parks, just have to take into account in the decision making the purpose of the marine park. So, you know, that really makes sense because, you know, we all want to kind of protect the Gulf and, you know, it's of national significance and ensure the catchments are well looked after. So it's not about a change of ownership that's been, that has been suggested. That's just not correct at all.
And this could be an opportunity for a co-governance model. So could you tell us a little bit about what a co-governance model for the region might look like and what the benefits of that are?
Well, they're two different things. What's been consulted on is just about whether the regional parks, the wording says to investigate whether the regional parks are included in the marine park, which means that the decision makers have to take account of the purposes of the marine park. Separate to that is a discussion that we're having with all of our resources is how should we manage them. And for the Hauraki Gulf Forum, we're having a discussion around what should our advocacy position be on the future of the act that controls the forum. And we've already adopted co-governance informally. It's not prescribed in the legislation, but one of our advocacy positions could be, and we've still got to agree on this, that we're actually advocating for a new structure to be set up so that the forum is a proper, true co-governance entity. Which, you know, would look very different in terms of who's represented on the forum, potentially, but it's all up for discussion. And ultimately, it's not the decision of the forum or of council, it's all with ministers, and they haven't even signalled yet whether they will even amend the Act. So, you know, there's been a lot of kind of assumptions flying around on this issue.
Right, so essentially because it was picked out from that it wasn't quite ready to be announced yet because we don't have a fully-fledged plan, and are we expecting to hear more soon?
Well, the forum's meeting in February where we'll be deciding what our advocacy position is in terms of just saying this is how we think the Act should be amended. And it makes sense, you know, the Act is over 20 years old, So it's timely for it to be reviewed because a lot of things have moved on in the last 20 years around our, you know, views around co-governance and how we should be managing our natural resources and what our goals are. So, yeah, so I see it as all positive change and it should be a positive discussion.
Right, and just lastly, we've recently moved to red, as you've said. Do you have any advice for Auckland residents about staying safe during this time?
Well, I guess with red, it's getting our heads around it a bit differently. We're not in lockdown, so you know, there's still a lot we can be doing. You know, we're still able to go out and go to restaurants and enjoy events as long as it's under 100 people. Like the Auckland Theatre Company is still doing their first season of the year. So I'll be going along to that. But I think it's as we've always done through the pandemic, taking a really precautionary approach and just being really mindful of not going out, feeling sick at all, wearing a mask, you know, following the rules around scanning in and showing a vaccine pass when you go to facilities, just being really aware of personal space and especially when you're inside. So my sense is when I'm out and about, the Aucklanders are being very aware and sort of adapting to the red traffic light and getting on with things, but being sensible about it.
Great. So just being cautious really is what sets a sum it up there.
Yeah, and I guess there's things that, you know, employers are working through, like Auckland Council at the moment has said to all the staff they can't go back into the office yet, but I imagine that's going to change as they look at what systems have to be in place. So I know there's different kind of responses to what red means, but I'm feeling kind of confident at the moment that we're taking the right approach. But hopefully we can move, you know, that means that we'll be, the sooner that we can move to orange and start enjoying more events and things.
Yeah, so it's great, to, as you mentioned, to support those events or those artists that in any way we're able to in a smaller capacity. Yeah, yeah, well, thank you much, Pippa. Was that something you were going to say there?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. You know, like it's been really tough for creatives and the event sector. So they must be just so gutted with moving to red and seeing everything cancelled. But there are still things on around about and things we can enjoy, you know, like Whale Tales is continuing with that's in support of the Hauraki Gulf, you know, the sculptures that are everywhere around the city and you can go and check them out. And, you know, and cafes and bars and restaurants are still open, so that's good.
Yeah, could we potentially see some of those vouchers that were being handed out being used to support those types of things? Is that something that we could expect?
Yeah, well, I think the vouchers have started to be distributed and, you know, the zoo's still open and facilities like Motet and the museum, they're just in the art gallery, they're just keeping numbers low, so... You know, still lots
have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.